This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And joining us right now in our hot seat is Nicole Auerbach. She is the a sports analyst for NBC, longtime coverer of the college football things. Yeah, I'm just making up words at this point.
It made sense to me.
Thank you. Nicole, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I was just telling you guys off air, I've covered this game before, but not in a while, so I'm excited to be back.
Okay, so awesome. I'm brand new to this experience. And you will love it. Okay, yes. So first of all, I would like to ask, what is your favorite part of the Army-Navy experience so that I can be kind of looking out for some of the best parts of
this? Okay, so the two key parts are before and after the game. So you need to go there early enough to watch the march on, which I'm sure people have told you. That's really, really cool to see, you know, the cadets and the midshipmen all on the field. And then after, obviously, the singing second. You hear it all the time, right? Mm-hmm. You want to sing second. I have been like 5 feet away from Jeff Munkin after Army won, and they're singing second, and it is just an unbelievable emotional moment.
Yeah.
So those are the keys. Those are the ones. Everything else will be awesome, though, like wander around the tailgate scene outside of the stadium. It really is unlike anything else. Everyone always says it's a bucket list experience. It totally is, and it lives up to it. So, but definitely savor the before and the after.
Yeah, no doubt. Some things are happening in college football.
Oh, are they?
Yeah. We got things happening here.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bill Belichick dominating the news. Now, I had a theory yesterday as this happened, because at first I was like, I don't know, like a lot of people, I don't know how it's going to play out, et cetera. The more I thought about it, the more I realized, even if he doesn't win a lot of games, say he's there 2 years, you know, just as an example. Let's say he goes 7-5 and 5-7, and that's that. What he's done for the University of North Carolina to elevate from $5 million to $20 million, or $4 million to $20 million in NIL money, raising the salaries of coaches, bringing an admittedly dysfunctional administration at North Carolina together to pull on the rope in the same way. That'll never go away. Whether Bill Belichick, they're not going to go back to $4 million. You know what I'm saying? They've all of a sudden recognized that they need to commit to football, whether he's successful or not.
Yeah, I think that's a fair argument to make. I mean, it's kind of the argument people made about Deion Sanders when he got to Colorado was, hey, even if this experiment doesn't work, think about all the attention it got. Mm-hmm. You know, it upped admissions, and people were talking about Colorado football. They hadn't in a long, long time. They haven't had a winning season in X amount of years. And it definitely is dominating the news cycle in a time where, you know, the ACC and the Big 12 are falling behind the SEC and the Big 10. Like, everyone's talking about the ACC and this hire. But I do think that, you know, the world is changing a little bit next year anyway. And that's where the $20 million, I need to dive into exactly if it includes the rev share piece, because everyone's going to be able to pay their athletes directly next year.
Yeah.
So I actually think that, yes, there's going to be efforts to fundraise NIL money on top of that, but it's more of an even playing field if everyone's paying around the same, and you're not saying, yeah, like, oh, our total budget is $5 million, but Ohio State's is $20 million. That's a huge gap. But if everyone's paying like $13 million from the school, and then you do a little bit extra, whatever, it's much more even, I think. So okay. That's my theory that I'm interested to see if that plays out.
Sure.
But yes, the fundraising element of an exciting hire, that's why people do it, right? Winning the press conference and all of that matters because you do need that buy-in from donors. And that's one of the things that I'm interested to see about taking this job. And I think, Bill, the way that he talked about college football, I do think he understands what makes it different and uniquely complicated. But he is going to have to, like, shake hands and talk to donors and then talk to teenagers.
Sit in living rooms.
Yeah, like he's going to have to do all sorts of stuff that we've never seen him do before.
So do you think it'll work?
I think it's going to be harder than people think. I don't know if it's going to work. And, again, I think there's different levels of success of when you do something like this. But I think it's going to be harder because the way that I've heard NFL people talk about this hire is like that, oh, well, he's a great NFL coach. Boom, this is easier. It's like an easier level, JV football. It's not. I think it's harder. I think it's more complicated because you have to be like, you have to wear like eight different hats and have like eight different jobs.
Yeah.
And only one of them is actually coaching football. Like, he's going to clearly realize that, like, if he wanted to spend more time game planning, he's not really going to get to do that as a college head coach as much. But it sounds like he really wanted to be coaching again, right? And if the NFL isn't giving you that opportunity, you do it this way. The fascinating thing about, like, is this going to work is that contract.
Yes.
Because he might never coach a game for Carolina.
Yeah.
He owes Carolina $10 million if he leaves before June, like 6 months from now. That's like a weird, I've never seen a contract like that. And then it's $1 million after. So the way I read that is, like, he wants to give it a year. See if he does enough that the NFL is like, all right, we'll bring you back. You can go after that wins record. You know, whatever. We'll lock it in. But, I mean, like, does something happen in July or August and he bails? Like, you just don't know. So I think the structure of the contract is what gives me a little bit pause of, like, what does he want to do?
What's the plan here?
Yeah. What's the actual plan?
Now, we're talking to Nicole Auerbach. She's a sports analyst for NBC Sports. There we go. Let's get that right. I feel like another big talking point has been the 12-team playoff and the way that this thing has gone. Do you feel like in seeing it, and obviously we still remain to see the games, does this feel like it's been a success for what it feels like the 12-team playoff has been implemented for?
Yeah, I do. I think that the goals were to, you know, increase access and the fact that, you know, Boise State's in this thing, that Indiana's in this thing, that SMU's in this thing, like, that shows that that worked. And then it increased engagement throughout the year. I mean, we didn't, quote, write teams off after a loss in September. Yeah. You know, people were in the hunt, and there were so many interesting races down the stretch in November because of that, because all these games had playoff implications. And so I think all of that part worked. Where there, I think, needs to be some changes, like, I think the seating ended up being a problem.
Totally agree, yeah.
And I think that's an easy fix. I think they could fix it for next year. I mean, like, I think I expect it to be reexamined. And the commissioners that oversee the CFP, they meet the morning of the championship game, they meet in the spring, and they'll have grievances to air, certainly. But I would just say, okay, five conference champions, you get in, so you play for that, and then you just rank them 1 to 12.
And reseed.
Or reseed after the first round. Either way. But the number one overall seed should not be looking at this and being like, why do I have the hardest pass?
Yeah. But it does work. I'm just adamant about it. Like, you know, like Alabama, if you want to complain, these guys are tired of hearing me say this, but, like, win another damn game.
Yeah.
Or just don't lose to Oklahoma.
Win another game.
They were in.
What are you complaining about?
I know. Yeah. Two unranked opponents, bad losses.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't get an unlimited amount of mulligans, and that's how I feel. Because most years, it actually set up for a team like Alabama to get in.
Yeah.
But you just don't get three of them. You don't get three losses. Yeah. Like, they were fine.
It's not that hard.
They were going to be in.
And
it was
then
just
the
Vanderbilt
the bizarre
loss.
Stuff about talking about non-conference, this is going to affect non-conference. You won every damn non-conference game you play.
That was... I don't know what kind of misdirection
Bill
that was. Yeah, Greg Byrne.
Greg
but yeah,
Byrne,
no,
Greg
it was
Byrne.
It was very strange. And listen, I don't think that's ever going to happen because people need butts and seats and season tickets sold, so you can't play just a bunch of, like, directional schools.
Yeah.
But I the whining and the complaints of, like, this has happened to everybody else. Alabama usually gets the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
It's okay if you had two bad losses to unranked teams that kept you out. We actually would like to, you know, what happens on the field to impact selection and seeding.
Would you also agree that, like, in college football, with these larger conferences that are getting bigger and bigger, and, you know, the scheduling being harder to kind of hit all of the quote-unquote good teams, that it's becoming more difficult to determine who is good on a given year?
Yes, and that's something that I think, like, again, Alabama's misdirecting their anger on this, like, non-conference scheduling point. The bigger point is you had different schedules within the SEC. Texas had an easier schedule. Like, these are league office things, and they're very hard to do in an era of mega conferences where you don't have divisions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be so much imbalance within the own conference. And so you either have to decide, like, as a selection committee, we're really not going to penalize people because, like, Indiana played who they had to play.
Yeah.
Or you're like, well, you know, this team gets more credit because they played a more challenging conference schedule. But it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
It's going to be a crapshoot year in and year out because these leagues are too big.
Yes.
All right. Pretty big. We've got to bring it full circle here before we let you go. A pretty impressive year by Army and Navy.
Yes.
I mean, is there a reason for that? Like, you can see? I mean, like, other than great coaching, which they have
they
both have great coaching. But, I mean, NIL, I mean, come on. I mean, it's not, I mean, what
yeah,
is, what
no, they,
is,
yeah, they have no NIL.
Yeah, that's what I'm
they,
saying. Like,
they can't use
so
the
what is, the reason and what is the possibility of them continuing to be good in an NIL world?
Yeah, I mean, their coaches are concerned about that.
Yeah.
But it's already a different kind of guy that comes mm-hmm. and plays, you know, and picks a service academy in the first place. They're always going to look, you know, recruit nationally and look for under-recruited guys.
Yeah.
Or guys that want to play quarterback but are told by everyone else that they can't, right? They're too
right.
small. Yeah. That's usually the story of every quarterback at the service academies. I mean, Bryson Daly is really, really good, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's
Absolutely.
Had a really special season. I know, you know, the commissioner of the conference, they were arguing he should have been a Heisman finalist.
Yeah.
But there is definitely, I mean, there were some tweaks offensively. The way that Army has been running this offense is different than it's been in years past. But I think it's just, again, it's kind of the argument for the collective over individual stars that mm-hmm. are plugging and playing and moving in and out each year. And I think that that's kind of it. It's just a unique place, a special place with its own limitations. But you also have a conference affiliation and a schedule that should help, at least attract talent or at least be able to make arguments playing at a higher level.
Nicole, we appreciate you giving us some of your time. And one of the things I will say I appreciate you embracing your likeness with Aubrey Plaza. That's always a good thing for me as well. Hope you enjoy this 125th edition of the Army-Navy game.
All right. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. There you go. That's Nicole Auerbach, NBC Sports analyst, for college football and college basketball. I almost asked her.
Yeah, we should have asked them. We should have talked some hoops.
The Cougs, especially like what's the change that happens this year for the Cougs to take them from just being a team that is constantly around the Final Four to the one that actually wins it this year.